there is a cop that is 4 million yen in debt from buying luxury items and entertainment. And that tells me that this is a cop living beyond his means, outside his lifestyle. He, therefore, is a cop that can be bought. That was actually my first thought when I was initially reading this story, is that this is a cop you could bribe and get away with it. He wanted to resign. So he wanted to stop being a police officer, which actually in this case seems like a good idea. If you have a cop who has large debts, who can't get out of those debts, you know, working his job, you don't want that guy to be a cop. The other police officers were like, you should stay. You should keep working as a police officer, pay off your debt before you quit. You should stay. His solution, on the other hand, was to just stop showing up to work and then to go to Disneyland with his girlfriend. So he wanted to quit. And the other guys in the office are like, don't quit, keep being a cop. And he's like, how do I convince them that I don't want to be a cop, that they should stop letting me be a cop, that I should not be a cop anymore? He wanted to uncop himself. He's like, well, if I just stop showing up, I mean, honestly, as far as planning goes, this is a solid plan. On Ninja News Japan, we make fun of bad plans all the time. This is a good plan. If you want to get fired, just stop showing up. They're going to fire you eventually. The problem came on October 1st, when his father filed a missing persons report, and the cops, therefore, his colleagues, his coworkers, were out looking for him specifically. So you miss a couple days of work, you don't show up anymore to work. We'll just forget that guy, not a big deal. Someone files a missing persons report, and you're a cop, then the cops have to go look for you. So he's kind of like stuck himself by not telling his dad, Dad, I'm going to Disneyland, or Dad, I'm doing something with my girlfriend. He just disappeared. So his father, I don't know if he'd behaved like this in the past, but his father, you know, rightfully said, my son is missing. I don't know where he is. I will call his coworkers, the other police, and they will look for him. And they have to look for him at that point. Even if they're like, yeah, at this point, we're glad he's gone. He was found leaving a hotel on October 2nd with his girlfriend or his partner. I don't know if he gets arrested for this. He has to get stopped. This is an interesting thing. When someone files a missing persons report and you're not actually missing and the cops find you, what do? Do they just like tag, you're it? We found you. You have to find me now. You have to find the next guy. Because you haven't committed a crime. Like going to Disneyland with your girlfriend without telling anybody isn't a crime. Of course, it does leave your family back home who think you've disappeared forever in a weird situation. That's something I want to look into. But how do you find out? Like, I can't go to the police and ask these questions. This is something I realized a long time ago. I have lots of questions I would like to ask the police, and I can't just like go show up at the local police station and say, hey, if this situation hypothetically happens, what would be the result or the punishment? Or like, is it a crime? That draws suspicion onto you. So I realized I can't do that. I need a cop friend or a lawyer who can explain stuff to me. That might be the next step for Ninja News Japan. That might be the next evolution, is to find a cop or lawyer that I can regularly ask questions to. So as I hit these questions, I can write them down. Might actually start looking into that. I want to do more quizzes. It's organizing time. Organizing time is very hard for me because I work. This isn't my job. I do this because I love you. On October 31st, at the end of the same month, he's issued a reprimand. And that reprimand is, hey, you're a bad cop. You can't just not show up to work for a bunch of days. And then he immediately quit afterwards. So again, if we're going for his initial plan and success, he has achieved his goal. He didn't want to be a cop anymore. He wanted to quit. It's not that they wouldn't let him quit, but they convinced him to stay. Maybe they were giving him a hard time about quitting. He's like, he formulated a plan. I'll stop showing up to work. I'll stop showing up to work long enough. They will reprimand me. He probably thought they would just like cut him loose. But in, I guess, police, it has to be a little more formal. They reprimand him and then he quit. I guess, and this is going to ensure he can't be a cop again, which is not a bad idea. I mean, this is the kind of guy that should not be a cop again. He did say, after he was reprimanded and quit being a police officer, I didn't like having my personal life intruded on and being given advice about money. I thought if I stopped showing up to work, I would be allowed to resign. And again, he was correct. So a man was arrested. And he was arrested for riding it looked like an electric bike. They said a moped with pedals. So I'm assuming moped with pedals means kind of gas powered. So you pedal it and then the engine kicks in and it's got like a little essentially lawnmower engine. And that keeps you going. It looked like an electric bike to me, but the electric bike will give you a better image of what the bike looks like. It looked like a modified bicycle with an engine on it. That's a moped. I guess they were right. Who am I arguing with right now? He's been arrested for riding past people and snatching glasses off their face. As a glasses wearer, I understand the immediately difficulty and frustration this would put you in, because I am functionally blind without my glasses. I see the world, but it's like the world underwater. I know what Atlantis looks like because that's what I would see whenever I take my glasses off. I couldn't really drive a car or anything if I didn't have my glasses on. So with glasses, I see adequately. I wouldn't say well. If I was walking somewhere and you took my glasses, I could still find my way to the train station. I could still do stuff. I would not be a functional human being to the same capacity.
Be here feeling like a buffoon.
Jade, I feel the exact same way. I would not be because I would lose so much capability. Because I couldn't read things. I'd have to like walk up really close to them to read them. I'd have to maybe ask people for directions and stuff. So it would make my day so much harder. And let's say you were going on your way to work. If I was coming home, I probably have a pair of old glasses, which aren't as strong maybe, that I could still get by with till I get a new pair of glasses. If I was on my way to work, there's no way I'd be able to do a day's work without my glasses on, because I couldn't read the computer in front of me probably. I'd have to get my face really close to the computer. It would be very entertaining for my coworkers. They would all have a good time. I know I would realistically just take that day off and go get another pair of glasses, but they're not ready that day. I'd still have to wait a couple days or a week. So I'd have to take a day off, go home, get an old pair of glasses, go get a new pair of glasses. Nightmare. When he was arrested, they found 50 pairs of glasses in his home. 50 pairs of glasses. This eye is just getting worse and worse and worse. At this point, it's essentially just a non-functional orifice in my head. It's not the best way to put it. A non-functional orifice. When they went to his place, they discovered 50 pairs of glasses he had stolen off people's faces. Now, I thought, I'd read this far in the article and I went, okay, this is a kid. And he's found a prank. He can grab glasses off people's faces. They can't really chase him down very well. He's on a moped, an electric scooter. So he'd be able to jet off pretty quick. It's a prank. This guy's 49 years old. And I don't know why. Like a lot of these, it's old dudes. And I'm like, of course, because old dudes just go insane in their old age. Or it's young people doing stupid stuff. He's still young enough. He's under that sort of mental barrier for me where he should be like, know better. What had actually happened? So I thought initially he was riding up, grabbing the glasses off someone's face and riding away. I actually saw that something like that. I saw a purse snatching happen that way once, like live and in person. And the woman realized at the same amount of time I did, they were gone by the time we both realized what had actually happened. So there was nothing I could actually do to help. What he actually did is he would stop and say, can you give me directions, let's say, to the station, and then grab their glasses and ride away. So the shock is there, but he has that moment where everyone's calm and peaceful and I'm helping you out. And this is another thing, the kindness of strangers preying upon that to steal glasses. You've just gone down the wrong path. When the cops do an arrest, and they love to do a little layout of everything they've taken. So the one, again, this is audio podcast. You're not gonna be able to see the picture, but the picture is really funny to me. Someone's printed out a banner. I love that for every crime, someone's taken the time to print out a banner. They've hung a single t-shirt on the wall under the banner that says Jumpman Flight. Jumpman, I believe, is a anime character, a manga character, I'm not sure. They have the moped bicycle thing, which actually looks very cool. I kind of want one of those. They also have a pair of boots or like high top shoes he has that are... So the shirt and the boots are the bits that I'm confused about because they're completely unrelated to the crime. You have the layout of the glasses, all 50 pairs of glasses. I guess you could reclaim your glasses, but I think they're just trying to show like the haul they took. The guy who lays things out for this did not do as much of a job as I'm usually. I have higher expectations. I've done a lot of these stories where they lay out like all the stuff they've taken from the arrest. And I'm not as satisfied with this. He doesn't seem to have any structure or plan, have sort of a flow. Because I've actually, there's the ones where they have like the underwear or something. And it's like, they'll actually do it from different kinds of underwear. And it'll go like down by color. And they've had like someone who's stolen shoes and it'll do it by size or something. Like there's usually a theme. This seems like the guy maybe didn't have a lot of time, or this might be his first time laying stuff out. He's got a bunch of glasses and the glasses don't seem to be in any particular order. 74-year-old city hall member in Sioux. They were talking, okay, so it's the Sioux mayoral prefectural government was sitting around. I'm sure that's not what it's called. They're having a meeting. They're just sitting around having a meeting, and they were talking about you know, human rights, and they have like a charter for rights for children. So they start having a conversation of what this should and should not include. I'm sure it's based off some national thing, but they have to have some definitions, like what are the rights, the inherent rights of children in Japan. A 74-year-old, and as soon as I said that, I'm like, 74-year-old Japanese politician is saying some off the cuff, unhinged stuff. I knew where this story was going before I even got into it. They were drawing up policies in regards to children. And someone said, respecting the personality, individuality, and the rights of children. Seems pretty fair. Like, kids are their own people. They have their own personalities. They are individuals. They should be treated like individuals. And they have inherent rights just being born in sort of a country with that respects basic human rights. He responded, do children have personalities? Bet they have better ones than you. I like it. Just like all this stuff that goes in my head. Then he said, what rights do children have? Which shows where this 74-year-old man's head is at. If he thinks that, like, because you exist doesn't mean you have rights. Because you are born doesn't mean you have rights in Japan. Because you're a Japanese citizen and young, you do not necessarily have rights. Someone tried to argue people are born with human rights. Pretty fair argument, if you ask me. He argues back, kids have neither rights nor obligations. So you expect the general pattern of this is unhinged statement, outcry, and the next day they do public press apology. This guy is one of my favorite ones because he doubles down. He is absolutely not backing down for this. He thinks kids do not deserve or have rights. So the next day during some press, when people are like, dude, do you really think kids don't have like human rights? He says, I don't think anything of it. Rights and personality both need to be developed. You could say personality does develop over time. I think I'm a very different person from when I was 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Like every decade, you could say I'm a fairly different person from the decade previous. I think that's fair. Personalities change. But I had a personality when I was like 10 years old. I had a personality when I was 5 years old. You actually say the changes might actually even happen. The inherent person that I am is in there right away. Human rights, on the other hand, are inherent from birth. This is how you treat people who exist, which is where I actually found this. This is the guy maybe went too far. I would be okay if he said like, oh, you know, kids have immutable personality, personalities develop, all that kind of stuff. I'd be like, I disagree with it, but I see your point. Like people change and kids change a lot. So maybe they don't have like a set personality. It's harder to call them out on that. When talking about human rights, there is no start point other than human exists, therefore they get human rights, the fundamental basic human rights. So this to me shows, again, what I've said is the problem with 74-year-old politicians. I tend to talk about Japanese politicians, but I think we're seeing in other countries, perhaps the 80-year-olds, there's no way these guys should be in charge anymore. Like these 60, 70, 80-year-old men should not be in politics. They should not be in charge. I don't understand what is going on with them at all. Why is this still okay? Politicians essentially set the retirement age. If they set it at 60, 65, or 70, they should be retired from public life at that time. You should not be allowed to become Prime Minister of Japan, President of America, or any of these other positions if you are above the retirement age. That is my stance, and therefore Ninja News Japan's firm stance, that since government policies decide the retirement age, they should respect the retirement age themselves. So every one of these politicians in Japan who's over 65 years old should be forced to retire. They can go do some other stuff, ignorant stuff. I think our guy in our next story is about to prove how they could spend their time. 58-year-old man. So we have had, we had a trend. God, it was like a 6-month trend where every story that began with a plus 50-year-old man, it was always in the 50 to 60 zone. It was always 54, 55, 56. And I was like, this is my zone. I'm a little concerned that I might, you know, lose my mind one day. And it was always really weird sex stuff. Like it was always the weirdest sex dudes in their 50s. They're just like, at this point, it's like, you know what? This is the only chance. I'm still sort of physically capable, but I'm at that point in my life where I don't care anymore. And that sort of like convergence, the convergence of those two things, that sets old men off. And so I'm actually like partially worried that my brain's just going to click one day and I'm just going to go out and do some really weird stuff. And then I won't be doing Ninja News Japan. Someone in the news will be doing a story about me. The irony there. This isn't a sex thing, I hope. But a 50-year-old man, he's probably got, you know, a lot of free time. Maybe he doesn't work as much as he used to. At 58, you should still probably be working. But He's got some free time. So he does what any man in their 50s wants to do. He gets up on his roof. And again, that's already showing like he's on his roof. It's already a little weird to hang out on your roof. Roofs are really cool places to hang out. Like, I'll be honest. So I have a house. I haven't quite paid it off. I can see the faint glow at the end of the tunnel of my mortgage.
Watch the foreigner upload more and more disturbing content before he finally snapped.
That would be great. If you could watch my decline and then pinpoint the day the switch flipped. Like, he was okay up until this episode. And after that, the way he started talking and the stuff he started talking about got way off. Of course. Talking about roofs. This is middle-aged man stuff, old man stuff.
The point where you aged out of your human rights.
That's pretty good. I mean, you guys should be in the podcast at this point. You both don't know this. Jade, I think, just watches on Twitch, which is cool. When I do the YouTube video or the audio version, a lot of these conversations actually stay in. What I do is I get an AI voice. I type in what you say and I put it in so you can actually get the conversation. Just so you know, you're actually in the podcast when you're making comments. We have these talks. It's not the whole thing because I do stuff like this where I get off topic and it's no point. But I even choose different voices for different commenters. I got about 6 voices I can choose from. Because often these side discussions to me are the more entertaining bits because they're natural. And I think that's nice. We're talking like old man stuff, which is my zone. And roofs. Roofs are a great place to hang out. Now, I have a house. Again, I was saying that we're seeing the end of the mortgage is in view. It's going to be hopefully I don't die before we pay it off. I would like to actually own the house before I die. That's really one of those goals. But it's pre-60, so hopefully that'll get done. The house next door. So we bought our house and then they built the house next door. I'm not jealous, but I was like, the house next door has got a flat roof with a small wall and he has a garden up there. And I was like, we could have had a flat roof where I could have put like a second sort of like sunshade on it and I could be sitting up there. I could be podcasting outside on my roof right now, which I think would be awesome. We're playing video games and stuff. I could make a space up on the roof if I had a flat roof. So should I ever get dumb people money, like a huge amount of money, I probably would rebuild a house with a flat roof that I could sit outside on, which would be pretty awesome. Anyways, this guy, I'm assuming his is not too angled, that he isn't sliding off, but he's spending time on his roof. So what do you think he's doing on his roof? If I had time to set up the quiz this week, I would have said this would have been the quiz. What do you think he's doing on his roof? 4:30 p.m. There's a kid coming home from school. And he stops at a red light because he's on his bicycle. He stops at a red light because he's a good Japanese kid and he's following the rules. And then suddenly he gets dung in the side of the head. He gets pinged and he looks up and he sees a man. This has got to be a terrifying thing for a little kid to see. He sees a man on the roof with a rifle. And so what this dude is doing is he goes up on his roof and he's got an air gun, and like a BB gun, pellet gun kind of thing. They said air gun, which I don't know the difference between the different guns. I actually think air gun is more dangerous. I'm not sure. I actually saw some internet conversation about it, but I'd have to actually go look it up. But it wasn't. So kids, when they go to elementary school, they're given generally yellow helmets that they wear if they're on their bicycle. So it's to help, you know, make them visible. So the fact that he hit the helmet, I think he was going for a headshot, actually made the headshot and hit the kid in the helmet. Very lucky, because I think sometimes their ears are exposed, their face is exposed, that kind of stuff. So this guy is spending his time sitting on his roof, standing on his roof. When kids go by, he's taking shots at them with his BB gun, his air gun. The problem is he hit one. So the kid goes home. What does he do? He tells his parents, hey, I was riding by this house. I stopped by this house because there was a red light because I'm a good kid and I'm not breaking the rules. And this guy shot me. So they call the police. The police show up at this guy's house. They're like, hey, were you shooting kids? He was like, no. I would never do such a thing. I was on my roof shooting birds. I'm pretty sure that's also illegal. I don't think getting up on your roof and just shooting birds randomly is actually okay in Japan. I'm pretty sure there's rules about that as well. Yes, Ricky, it is wild. It's wild because why is this how you choose to spend your time? Like, I spend my free time doing this.
I thought the grade schooler was a bird.
Yes, I thought the grade schooler was a bird does seem like the right excuse, but it still falls into the category of is shooting birds okay, which I don't think it is. I think you're in the same sort of problem. Shooting birds is not okay, just like shooting little kids is not okay, just like shooting anyone's not okay. So they took away 2 air guns from his house And then one of the cops who's works in that area was like, we've actually found a mass of BBs, pellets around the road. We think this might be related, so we're going to be looking into it. And so, yeah, I don't know what to say, man. It's just insane. Don't shoot kids.
But the disregard for the kids' safety specifically is a straight-to-jail thing for me.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, okay. So if we're going to get into that, that's a whole other deal. I would throw the book at him. Because I'm assuming if he's on his roof and he hits the kid who's across the road, that's quite a distance. That's a pretty powerful air gun he's using. Like, he's hitting the kid. It didn't break the helmet or go through the helmet, but if he wasn't wearing a helmet, I'm assuming it would have, like, gone through the skin at least, maybe even, like, cracked his skull. Like, that is just not okay stuff. Play video games. This is it. Like, people complain about video games. The alternatives, just play video games.
Chunk McBeef Chess Podcaster, because it's not socially acceptable to shoot kids.
You've actually found me out. Okay, this last story, I've kind of made like a little shift in Ninja News Japan. I was trying to do all light news, so I wasn't doing any death. Now I'm doing actual death, so I got to come up with warnings beforehand. This is a story about a murder, so there will be fewer jokes and more facts, but it is sort of a true crime thing, which is what a lot of people are into. So last year, there was a suspected suicide, and because a man walked in front of a train, which is a very normal way in Japan that people commit suicide. And there's sort of a little ceremony that goes with it, which is a little weird and creepy to people who don't know about it. You take off your shoes and you line up your shoes. Like, when you come into a house in Japan, you take off your shoes and you're supposed to, you know, neatly put them next to each other. You'll see it in anime and stuff. It's sort of a ritual of how you return home. When people commit suicide, they often do the same thing. They take off their shoes. And that is actually a way of saying to the world that this was intentional. And for suicides in front of trains, they often put a note in there. Now, the police were a little like suspect of this case because the man had walked in front of the train. He did not leave a note. He did not do any of the things that Japanese people traditionally do. So they're like, this is now suspect. It's now suspicious. They're also on video camera caught a car driving away when most people, if they had been around this kind of thing or seen this kind of thing, they would have at least called the police. So someone leaving this scene made it also these two points. It didn't follow sort of the regular ways.
I really don't understand the train suicide. You grew up trying not to inconvenience others. And the you inconvenience them by messing with the train.
I don't
service.
Know. I could get into some suppositions there. It's all psychology. I think they commit suicide because it's now been popularized in media. And so now they think that's how you commit suicide. I actually think media is not responsible, but people have done this. We put it in the stories. Now people have read the stories and then they up and up and up. And so it just becomes the way it's done. So because of the lack of the Japanese style, and the car leaving the scene, the police were like, we're not going to actually like stop investigating. We think this might be a murder, even though the man walked in front of the train on his own volition. So that's actually the sticking point at the end of the story when we get to the case. A year later, so this is this year, actually last week, 4 arrests have been made. And these were all the victim's coworkers. And the police say he was coerced into crossing the railway where he was then hit and killed. So what happened? You go back a year, you have to go back a couple of years. He's working at a construction company. They seem to do a lot of painting and stuff like that. And it seems like workplace bullying was constant. But when they say workplace bullying, I think they're going to need a new word because workplace bullying is not strong enough for the stuff they were talking about doing. They found videos on the perpetrator's form. So 4 people were arrested. They found videos on their phones of them performing physical abuse. So they would take him and do wrestling moves, but like he was always, it wasn't like playing back and forth. Let's do some fake pro wrestling. They were like grabbing him and do a suplex onto concrete. They were throwing him around. They were pushing him over, that kind of stuff. They threw hot water on him. So they would boil water probably for tea. And then they would take a cup of it and they would throw it on him, you know, burning him, scalding him with the hot water. They would tie him up, tie his legs, tie his hands, and they would hit him in the lower body with hammers. So this was, again, when they say bullying, I actually think bullying is too soft a word for what's actually going on. Bullying in Japan is now taken on this all-encompassing, every kind of like physical violence kind of stuff. It is insane. This had gone on for a year or two, and it sometimes they would deny him salary and only feed him. So that was how they kept him coming back to the work site. So because the only way he could get food, because he had no money, was to come back to work, he would come back to work, get more food, but then they would abuse him while he was at work. So they got to a point where they're like, I don't know what's going on. So now we get into very, very sort of supposition stuff. Like, what's going on in their heads? Because they decide they want him to die, or they want to kill him for some reason. Like, torturing him just isn't enough anymore. They want to kill him. They go to his house at 2 o'clock in the morning and they get him. Now, this is kidnapping because he did not want to go with him. But we're at the same thing with it. The psychological state of the victim in this case is he's not fighting them anymore because it's four of them and they've abused him so much that he doesn't feel like he can fight. That's actually one of the weirdest parts of this. At no point does he actually fight back against these guys. They take him to a bridge and they try to tell him to jump off the bridge, and he says he doesn't want to jump off the bridge. They get a text message from one guy to another guy that says he doesn't want to jump off the bridge. He wants to walk in front of the train. So it's almost like they're like, we want you to jump off this bridge. And he's like, no, I don't want to do it this way. And they're like, well, you can jump in front of a train. He's like, yeah, let's do that instead. Maybe he was sort of delaying for time. Maybe he was like, if I'm going to die, this is the better way to do it. We don't know what was going on in the victim's head. All we know is that he was in his mental state where he did not feel like he could resist in any way against these other guys. They take him to the train crossing and they get him out and they tell him to just go walk across the train. He actually does what they say and he gets hit by the train. Here's where the prosecutors are in an interesting position, because they've now arrested these four people. They have the evidence. They have the phones. They have all the physical evidence of abuse. They have all the things that have happened in the past. They have the CCTV footage. So they know all these men were involved in this man killing himself. Is it murder? And if it is murder, what kind of degree is it? I actually think it's pretty clear this is a form of murder, but they've put him in this psychological state where he'll do what they say. So them telling him to do it, I think, makes them responsible for the murder that has occurred. But very technically, again, this is where the law works. You have to get technical on it. If they didn't actually do anything to him and he walked in front of a train, is that still murder? Or is it coercion to suicide? And what kind of crime is that? The current defense of all of three of the four perpetrators is, we didn't do anything to him, therefore we did not commit murder. So they're not saying they didn't bully him. They're not saying they didn't commit all this psychological torture, but they are saying, we didn't actually push him in front of a train. We didn't actually do anything. His death is his responsibility. We should not be held responsible for that. I will follow this case. It's going to take probably months and months and months before it's concluded. So probably next year sometime, I will come up with the actual sentencing of these four people and we'll revisit it then.
I'd say it's some level of manslaughter at least.
I think it's got to be worse than manslaughter. I actually wouldn't be surprised if they came up with something else, like murder related for sure. But a higher level than that, because this is planned. So if you think about the degrees, the Japanese legal system, American legal system are not exactly the same, but I think everyone has some exposure to the American legal system. So we have a better understanding of it, like first, second, and third degree murder. So first degree murder is just like an act of passion. Second degree murder has intent, and third degree murder is like with planning. So that's it. So it's intent. So because they intended for him to die, I think that puts you into third degree murder. So the fact that I did it or not becomes secondary. It was the planning and the intent. These guys woke up, they kidnapped the guy, they brought him to this place. They didn't want to do it that way. They brought him to another place. That to me is all the planning that led to the death of the person. That to me makes it third degree murder. So I've grown a big beard. This is an audio format primarily, but I've grown a big beard. And I recorded on Twitch and I posted on YouTube and I'm looking at myself and I'm looking a lot like a trucker. The beard and the baseball hat is making me look like a trucker. Don't know if that's a look I should lean into or try to like more refine. I have been trying to think, what should I do? What should I do with the beard? I'm thinking length. This is not going to go in the podcast. Now that Balloon Cat's jumped in, I got someone to maybe chat with. I'm thinking length down, keep it fairly tight here. This is the part. So I've realized naturally, I'm clearly a bad guy. Like genetically, not maybe my personality or my morality, but genetically, because my mustache twirls like up like this naturally. Like, I don't even have to, like I just did that now, and it'll stay like that. So I actually, when I get up in the morning, I comb it down to reduce the mustache twirling aspects I have in my genetics.